I'd like to invite you all to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. A verse that I'm sure none of you have ever heard before. Today is going to begin an 8-week study on the love of God. When you start talking about the love of God, you have to start with John 3:16, because this is what it's all about. You have a small outline in your bulletin, and we are going to stick with that outline, although you would not know this unless I told you now, I changed the words that we're going to use to fill in there. Why? Because as of last night, I had a wonderful meeting with the Lord, and he said, yeah, this is where I want you. But he showed me something, and I got to share it with y'all. Brothers and sisters, will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we are about to engage with one of perhaps the most poignant and powerful words ever penned. For you so loved this world that you gave your Son. Oh, Father God, where would we be without Jesus? Well, we know where we would be, dear God. We would be right steeped in the middle of all that we deserve, which is nothing good. But Father God, you decided to love us in our unworthiness, and you rained down your very best upon us. And Father God, you paid a price that none of us could stand to bear. And God, we are the recipients of your love and your grace. And Father God, we pray here and now just for a time of earth-shattering renewal to take place in our heart of hearts. Let your love abound, dear God, and let this time be beautiful. Father God, we love you. And it's in your Son's most glorious and most beautiful name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God so loved. There are three verses in the Bible. Of course, all of them are powerful. There is no such thing as a verse of Scripture that lacks Spirit-inspired glory. But three verses I want to share right now with you, and they are verses that I'm sure you are all familiar with. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And for those of you that remember when we spoke about that a number of months back, Barashit bara Elohim in the Hebrew. In the beginning, God. What is so important about those first few words? Well, there's an awful lot that's important to him, but for today's purposes, I want you to hear that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, there was nothing but God. Everything came into being by God. God is the initiator of all things, which means God took the action necessary for all of us to be here. God was active. God broke the darkness. God, let there be light. God took the initiative. In John 3:16, again, God takes the initiative. What's going wrong? Why did God have to take the initiative? Because all that he made that was so good had fallen so far from his glory that something had to be done about it. And nothing could be done from our side reaching up to heaven. It had to be from God's side reaching down to man. So God took the initiative. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. He took the initiative. And he gave his Son. And then Hebrews 1:1. God, long ago, spoke to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. But today, he has spoken to us in his Son. When God took the initiative, he gave us his Son. And then in Hebrews 1:1, he's saying, here is my initiative, my initial and initiative effort. It's Jesus Christ, my Son. Listen to him. Don't listen to any other prophets. Don't listen to any other voices. Don't listen to anything contradictory or contrary. Listen to Jesus. I spoke to your forefathers long ago in many portions and in many ways, but today I speak to you through my Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only voice that we need to listen to. I know I already got a few, but you know how greedy I am. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, for God so loved, I'm going to throw out a few names here, and I'm going to have some fun with this, but, you know, we look at the world around us. And again, if you're a news junkie like me, it's hard to watch the news and be of good cheer. Seems like everything is wrong everywhere. And the only time that it ever seems that things are going right is when I'm in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters. Or when for somehow, some reason, somewhere by His divine glory, He meets up with me somewhere out there. And so I'm here with y'all today, and I also want to talk about something that happened out there. Brothers and sisters, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, this order, this created order, but not the dirt of this earth, not the rocks, not the water, but that which He made to inhabit this land, that which He made to have fellowship with. When it says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, what another way of saying that is that you are God's whole world. You are God's whole world. And I ask you, what is your whole world? What is that that you would die for, that you would lay down your life for, that you would pay any price for? What is that one thing to you that is so near and dear to you that there is nothing else over it in all of this world? Well, that's what you are to God. For God so loved you that He gave, and what He gave was His very dearest, His Son, because you are His whole world. And of course, His Son freely came. In Genesis, there's the calling out of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, leave your father's house, leave this land. You're going to go into the land that I will show you, and I will make you great, and I will make your name great. Now, that's a powerful passage, but one of the things about that passage that's so poignant is that when you read it in the Hebrew language, it carries a meaning with the words that are used. And the meaning with the words is that when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham's answer in his heart was already yes. Many a scholar says it like this, that when God said Abram, in Abram's heart and mind, his bags were already packed and he was ready to go. And this is how the voice of the Lord touches. When you know that God has put His hand upon your life, the only answer is, yes, Lord, yes. Because when you have been touched by that which is the most beautiful thing in all of creation and eternity, when He has lit His Spirit upon you, when His glory and His love descend upon you, you don't hem and haw. Okay? You don't sit there and go, oh, I don't know, I wonder this or I wonder that. No, when God touches you, you must go. When God touches you, you must do. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But Jesus freely went. And the reason why I took the Abraham moment there for a moment is to talk about this. God didn't order His Son to go, in my humble opinion. What happened? God said, Son, and in His heart, Jesus' bags were already packed. We're going to go and save our children. Save them from their sins. Save them from their brokenness. Save them from the generational sin. Save them from their personal sin. To break the curse, to stomp the ancient snake on the head and crush it underfoot and make it to where we could be His people again. Living these lives with Christ and knowing that the day will come when we join Him up there and it only gets better. I've had a number of friends coming to church lately, which just touches my heart more than you could ever imagine. And it was funny because Julie and I, had a little camping trip this weekend with two of them. And we went out there and we also invited two more. And the two that we invited they're like family friends, so they're welcome anywhere we go. But they sat over there before, and I think they're going to sit over there again. Right behind our lovely Miss Sally. Well, interestingly enough, I think it was in October, he had a heart attack, Randy. And then, of course, you all know I had mine on January 4th. I couldn't be left behind. You know, he wasn't going to outdo me. So I had one, too. And we've both been in the process of, you know, trying to get strong, trying to get better. And he got hit like a second time. And he went almost completely blind, and he's still almost completely blind now. And, you know, he's a very sought-after musician on the Central Coast. He plays by himself. He has a duo, and he also has a band. And they go around to all kinds of different places, and they play their music, you know, for different events, different, all kinds of places. And the funny thing is even though we lost his eyesight, he can still play his guitar, and he can still sing. And he's finding that, you know, I know he wrestles. When bad things happen to us, we wrestle. But I'm confident God's going to have the victory, because he is saying he's finding himself switching gears. He's finding himself going, well, I can't do the things I used to do, but I can still praise God. I can still do my music. I can still, you know, glorify him. And so it's kind of exciting, even though, you know, we've been wrestling, you know, and our friends and I have been talking with him. You know, sometimes he's down. Because he had a heart attack and is almost blind. Those are some legitimate reasons. You know, if there ever was one, that's one of them. You know, it's not like they got his order wrong at Denny's. You know, I mean, these are some big issues. And so he's wrestling with them. But I'm confident that God is going to help him to win this struggle that he's in. But anyway, so we ended up going out to the lake on Friday night. And it was myself, my wife, Kayla and Chris and Randy and Stacy. And we were all out there. And we're having fun. You know, just got a little fire pit going. Took the smoker out, made some lobster and steak. Yeah, we were really roughing it this weekend. Sorry, everybody. But we had a good time. And but then I was watching my friend wrestle, you know, a little bit. You could see him because he's sitting over there, you know, on the edge of the table. And you can see him kind of zoning out. And we were rooting for him. Saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. Come on, man. God loves you. We love you. We're all here. Come on, man. Don't you dare shrink back. Don't you dare fall down. And so pretty soon he walks away. And then he comes back with his guitar. Okay, and we're all sitting there with a little ring of chairs. We got a little fire ring down there, and he starts playing. And if you know anybody that's, you know, like around the age of 60 or whatever, and if they're guitar players, you know, they know a bunch of the old fun, you know, rock songs of the 60s and 70s, and a lot of those were coming out and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden, we transitioned, and he started playing some praise songs, and he started playing some hymns. And then this is the moment that was so beautiful for me on that night. We were all just standing around the fire ring. And mind you, it's kind of funny if you ever go camping. I don't know how this works out, but like we get like the biggest sight there, you know, because my wife goes out and scopes them out because she wants just the right one, the view, the space, the everything. So we've got all this area, and now we got three cars there, and they come by and they tell us, oh, you know, you're only allowed to have two cars per campsite. Yet somehow the four spots across from us are all one group, and there's like 22 cars there. And we're like, how does that even work? You know, it's like you call us out on the one, but they got like 12 extra. But anyways, it was funny because we're sitting there one moment going, you know, this isn't fair. They're not letting our friends drive up in here. They're not doing this. But like, obviously, you know, this is against the rules that's going on all around here. But like I said, the guitar came out. The song started being sang. And then all of a sudden, it switched to praise. And he played a few of the fun praise songs. And then he played one of his own songs that I knew he'd been working on since he lost his sight. And oh, it was beautiful. It was just wonderful. And then it switched to, oh Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, and myself and my wife and Chris and Kayla and Stacy and Randy, we're all standing around the fire just singing out, How great thou art, you know, for all the people to see. And then it's like, well, now it makes sense. God needs us to do everything by the book because, you know, we're trying to represent him. But now all of a sudden, all of these people that were breaking the rules got a Christian concert. And we're just singing out. I mean, and that's not the reason we're doing it. We were just feeling the love of the Lord, and we were singing out our songs, having the most amazing time. And we'd all only intended to stay that one night. But we're like, this is so awesome. We need to stay another night, you know? And so we stayed another night. And then last night, which would have been the second night, I had the opportunity to meet a young man named Mike. Mike had tattoos all up and down his arms and his legs, you know. At one moment he pulled up his shirt to wipe his face, and I saw they're all there too, you know. A very colorful fellow, looked a lot like a peacock, you know. But it was interesting. He had a smile on his face that was so genuine, and he had a light in his eyes that was so wonderful. You could see in him somebody that was searching for something. And he joined us at the fire that night. And his girlfriend told him to tell his story. So he told his story. He had lost his 5-year-old son just in February. And he was sad. And he was broken. But you see, there was this glimmer in his eyes that he knew there was something more. That he knew he was waiting for something. And we're all sitting around the fire talking, and he's talking about how, like, you know, he had some struggles, you know, he fell into darkness, he's coming back out, you know, and stuff. And I told him, I said, you have a pretty spirit inside of you, man. I can see it. And he's like, oh, thank you. And we had a long talk just around the fire. And I had the joy of hearing him say, this is the best word I've heard since February. Thank you. And, we parted company. We all went our ways. It was an interesting time, a beautiful time. I did the cardinal rule, though, that you are not supposed to do when somebody tells you that they lost a family member. In the course of the conversation, I told them that I had lost, and you all know what I'm going to say, my dog. Because you all know, I love my dog. But it was my boy that I lost, my special one. And you know, the thing is about that, and the reason why you're not supposed to say that to people is because you don't want them to come to a point where saying you're comparing the loss of your dog to the loss of my loved one. But I stopped myself right when I said it, and I said, I do not want you to think for one moment that I am trying to equalize my pain with yours. But I said, for the last 3 years, I have not gone a day without missing my boy. And I said, with how much that hurt me, I can't even imagine what you've gone through to lose your own son. And he was listening, and he wasn't listening with a judgmental ear. He was listening with an open ear, and he was hearing what I was saying, and he was kind of marveling at the words of the entire conversation. And I was reminded how hard it is for us to lose a loved one, especially a child. And then to know that God gave up his own child. Once upon a time, I was watching a TV interview with John MacArthur and a number of other religious leaders, and they had a Jewish rabbi and a bunch of other people. It was like they were looking for a fight on the set, you know. I'm like, okay, I don't understand what this is going to make. But it was interesting, though, because the rabbi, in an attempt to maybe sound cool, maybe to try to fit in or explain away some of the areas of the Bible that didn't make any sense to him, he mentioned, well, there was this guy named Abraham in the Bible, and he had a son, and it was a son they waited for like, you know, forever. And God said they wanted him to sacrifice his son, so he went up to sacrifice the son. But then God said, you didn't have to sacrifice the son. And he goes, I don't even know why that story's in there. It's so peculiar. You know, he goes, it just doesn't make any sense. To which John MacArthur stepped in and said, it makes perfect sense. Because God doesn't want us to give up our children, but he is willing to give up his child for our sakes. And he said, Abraham is a foreshadowing, a type of the coming Christ. Abraham didn't have to give up his son, that thing that he loved the most, but God, who we are his whole world, would give up his son on our behalf. That's how much he loves us. That which is unbearable for us, God did freely. That which is unbearable for us, his son had his bags pre-packed and ready to go to come to this world so that we could be saved. God will save, point number one, all that would cling to him. And this gentleman, Michael, he spoke to me because I saw that in the depths of his greatest hurt, you could see that he was reaching for God. And God, I need to tell you, he will move in the strangest of places. He will move when he wants to move, where he wants to move, and with who or whom he wants to move. Because when the conversation was over, it was over, and we all went our ways. But you see, they're all still out at the lake. But guess who couldn't stay at the lake? Me. I had to be somewhere this morning. So I woke up at 5 in the morning, started packing up, you know, some of the gear to help with the later cleanup. And then at 5:15, much like most every other human being in the world, I needed to go find the restroom. And when I walked into the restroom, guess who was there? And I walked in, I was like, hey! He was like, hey, how you doing? And I won't make this any more graphic, but you know, conversations that glorify God can happen in the strangest of places and under the strangest of circumstances. And as we were talking to each other from opposite ends of the bathroom, he said, when you get to your church today, can you pray for me? Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we have been talking in this church about meeting needs. Some of those needs that we can meet are physical. It can involve clothing. It can involve gifts of some sort or another. But Lord God, the first and foremost reason we are here is to share the love of your Son with a broken world. And Father God, how beautiful it is that even in a restroom at a campsite, dear God, that somebody could say, will you remember me when you go to that house? Will you lift me up? And Father God, we just want to pray that Mike's needs will be met right now. We pray, dear God, that your love will descend upon him. We pray, dear God, that we will see him here soon, which I thoroughly expect to see, dear God. We pray, Father God, that your Spirit would walk with him and comfort him and ease his weary heart and mind. Fill him with your love, dear God. Let him know, Father God, that you can understand what he is going through because you gave your Son. And Father, move in his life. Bring him to a saving grace in your Son. And Father God, just please, hear the prayer of this church here and now. And reach out to him. And touch him. And move within him like he has never felt before. Touch him in that special way that he knows it's the hand of God. And that he cannot deny it. And then Father God, help him to surrender to you. And to cling to Christ with all that he is. We love you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. All that would cling to him would be saved. But also, all that righteously hear him. In this world, there are many liars. And there are many lies that are circulated from one end of this globe to the other. There are many lies about Jesus. Jesus even said they're going to lie about me and in my name. They're going to even come in my name and say that I am he, but they're liars. Don't listen to them. There comes a point where we have to realize that there are dark forces at work in this world. And we were once of the darkness, but now we are of his marvelous light. And it's our job to share this light. Brothers and sisters, all that righteously hear means all of those who hear to the voice of God rightly, all those who engage with his holy word rightly, all of those that know that there is a God in heaven that loves us, gave his Son for us, and that Son died for us and rose again for us. But because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we can be spiritually baptized in his own blood and be cleansed from all our unrighteousness and be made what is called positionally holy in Christ Jesus, meaning that we've got our future cinched up, locked up, and nothing's going to ever change it. Brothers and sisters, all that righteously hear understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is a part that I have to make very clear. That term, only begotten, we are all children of God. Amen? We have all when we receive Jesus Christ. The scripture says we are grafted into the vine, and it says that we become joint heirs with him in his glory. And it says that this happens through the spirit of adoption, that God adopts us into his own family. And we are the most blessed people that has ever walked the face of this earth because we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this is something we cannot deny, ought not to deny, and ought to be shamed if we ever do. Because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? But now, that term, only begotten. We are plagued by people on our right and on our left. Groups that call themselves churches and stuff. I use a different word, but I won't get in there right now. The term only begotten comes from the Greek term monogene. Monogenes, singular gene, meaning that Jesus Christ is the one of a kind only begotten of God. There has never been one like him. There will never be one after him. He is the God-man who came from heaven. He is the one that perfectly indwelt, not 50-50, but 100%, 100% God-man. He had to be a man so that his sacrifice would be a like sacrifice. It had to be God so that it would be a superior sacrifice. Everything about it shows that Jesus Christ is uniquely, beautifully, and always has been the Lord God Almighty. He is the only one from the Father. There is none like him. If any voice ever comes teaching you something different to this truth, they are a liar. If any group ever comes and knocks on your door and tells you there's all kinds of gods and such, they are liars. There is only one God who is eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, Genesis 1:1, God the Holy Spirit, Genesis 1:2, and Jesus Christ, John 3:16, John 1:1. Brothers and sisters, for God so loved all that would cling to him. How do we cling to him? We can't just hold to his name and let it only be a name. We can't just believe he simply was. We can't just believe he was a good teacher. We have to understand he is, in fact, Almighty God. And blessings upon all blessings, at the same time that he is Almighty God, he is the lover of our souls. For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who clings to him, who righteously hears him and believes all that he said about himself, all that the scripture records of him, all the prophets foretold about him, those that rightly believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. You see, y'all remember Archie Bunker? Yeah, they don't make shows like that no more. You know, I love that old racist so-and-so, because whenever you get into banters with like Mr. Jefferson or whatever, you know, they'd give each other as good as they got. You know, it's kind of funny. They were so old-fashioned, so backwards. And I'm not saying the show should have a revival because, you know, I'm just saying. But you might remember the spinoff, The Jeffersons. Remember that song at the beginning? Moving on up. Where? To the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Brothers and sisters, you that believeth in him, you shall not perish. Okay? Your home is not going to be 6 foot under. Your home is not going to be in a vase somewhere. When you expire in this world, you do not cease to exist. You as a Christian, when that day comes that you check out of this world, you join him in glory. Pearly gates will open, proverbially speaking. There will be streets of gold. You will turn cartwheels down them, if that so be your desire. If you haven't been able to walk in the last 50 years, get ready, because your toes are going to move, your feet are going to move, your spots are going to be gone, your scars are going to disappear, your wrinkles are going to be gone. You are going to be glorified, beautified, because you are going to see him as he really is, and you will become as you were always meant to be. My friend's 5-year-old is now got a glorious body because I believe he was of an age of innocence and he's just gone right to be with the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we do not have an expiration date. We have a coronation date. We have a graduation date. Death is not our end. Death is our crescendo that leads us to our higher life. But in the meantime, to live is Christ. And I got to tell you, you don't have to go to some official like workshop. You don't got to go to some official Christian camp. You can go to Lake Lopez and make it a Christian camp. You can go to Lake Lopez and shut everyone else's mariachi music down by singing, "Oh Lord, my God." Okay? And then you might even be able at Lake Lopez or Kachuma or Santa Margarita or whatever, watch a friend beat his struggle with darkness as he plays his praise song that he wrote. And you just might get to meet someone in the bathroom and tell them more about Jesus. Because whether it's the bathroom or the White House, you can talk about Jesus everywhere. And let me tell you, you will find people who are ready to listen in the strangest of places. So embrace those strange places. Christian, there is no place on this earth where your Christian feet cannot walk and walk freely if they are proclaiming the glory of Jesus Christ. You can go into snakes' dens, lions' dens, so you tread on serpents and scorpions. You can face the frowns of passerbys. You can see them wag their head and shake their lip at you as you're proclaiming Jesus. But they, I got to be careful as I say this. Please take this in context. That don't matter. But what matters is the person that might be sitting just a few feet away going, "I might need me some of that." Brothers and sisters, all that would cling to him and all that would righteously hear him are welcome to be part of his family. I ask you, and I believe I know, do all of you cling to him? And do you righteously listen to him? If so, then brothers and sisters, I ask you, you know, as I say this, I kind of remind myself, you got to be careful what you ask the Lord for. Y'all might remember over 2 years ago, I asked you to covenant together with me and pray for the Ukraine. And now somehow I'm going. So sometimes, you know, it's like you got to be careful where you start praying because God might just send you or do something with you. But brothers and sisters, missions don't got to happen around the world. They can happen right here too. And my challenge to you is that if you cling to him and you righteously hear him, then I ask you to please get up with me on this day and go out into this world and let's take it by surprise with the love of Jesus Christ so that others can hear the good news and cling to him and righteously listen to him. What do I mean by righteously listen to him? I mean different than just listening. As I said, you don't read the Bible, you engage the Bible. You don't just listen to its words, you righteously listen. You listen as if God is trying to move in your life. And I got news for you. He is trying to move in your life. Can I get an amen? And if he is trying to move in your life, then he's trying to move in the lives of those people around you. So again, whether it's a campsite or a bathroom or a grocery store or wherever you might be, share the love of Jesus and share it unashamedly. Will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, you are good. You are so good, dear God. And Father, I just praise you. I praise you for the effect that you are having on a number of my friends, dear God. I'm so thankful for the way that you're moving in their lives. I'm so thankful for the way that none of them were ashamed to just stand up and sing your praises and being surrounded by at least 100 other people and just standing there on the top of that little hill and with our fire and singing your praises. And Father God, as I have always believed, you see from heaven and you know where to send your sheep, dear God. And Father, we might have been surrounded by 100 goats out there, I don't even know. But you had one lamb that you wanted there with us that night. And Father God, it was beautiful. I pray your beauty upon that man one more time, dear God. Upon his life, upon his choices, but mostly upon his ability to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father God, for this church family, I know most every face here. And as far as I'm aware, All these wonderful people know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Father God, this is beautiful and this is glorious. But help us with this, because it can't be this way. We need people in this room that need to hear. We need people in this room that need the opportunity to listen with righteous ears. They need to be given the opportunity for the first times in their lives to cling to Jesus Christ. Father God, help us to change this world by bringing them into this house. If we can, Lord God, let us lead them to Jesus Christ wherever we find them. But if not, let's get them in here and let's let them hear the message. But Father God, in this time now, there may be a decision on a heart or a mind here that needs to be made public. Maybe to receive your Son, dear God. Maybe to be baptized or join the church. Maybe some other act of service or decision. But Father God, if it's a decision that should be made publicly, let it be made. Let them come as we sing. In your Son's most beautiful name, amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?
What a Savior.